And it's titled Stepping Out because it is a wonderful description of the life of faith. Our series is all about faith because as a child of God, faith, your faith is the most important single thing about your life. It's your faith. Why? Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, faith is the key. The Bible says the righteous will live by everyone, faith. We live by faith, not by sight. We're walking by faith until we see Jesus face to face. And so we're called to this walk of faith. And remember this, very, very important. What we're going to be walking through in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter of the Bible that really solely focuses on faith, but what it does is it shows you the different manifestations of faith because true faith has action. I said this last week, faith without works is dead. So you could know stuff in your head, but real faith is always backed by steps of faith. It has a certain attitude and it has a certain action. Last week we talked about the attitude of faith is hope. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. You just have an attitude like a child that says, hey, if God said it because God promised this to me, right, he's going to do it. And even though it doesn't look like he's doing it, I still believe he's going to do it. I have hope in God. I trust in God, my Savior. The one who will never fail. Come on, somebody say amen. So faith has attitude and action. Okay, we talked about the attitude last week. Today, we are like crystallizing the essence of all actions of faith. Like where that really comes from, what it really means. We're going to be covering, in a way, the most important truth and principle of the whole series. Okay, all of them are important, but this is like the crux of it, the essence of it, the essence of faith. Now, before I do that, though, I want to explain two things to you that are very, very important to your life if you're going to live by faith and walk by faith. So the first two things that you have to take this in and believe this and receive this is, first of all, there is a source of faith, and the source of faith is the Word of God. Okay? The Bible says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Faith comes from the Bible. Okay, faith comes from the Word of God. There's a saying, a lot of people in the world says, you gotta believe in something, and you can choose to do that, but believing in something is not gonna please God or get you right with God, and it's also not gonna release the power of God. God said, if you have faith in me, faith the size of a mustard seed will literally move a mountain. But it's not faith for faith's sake. It's faith in one and one only, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible says that what produces faith is actually receiving the Word of God. May I borrow your Bible, please? Thank you. This in the first service, I asked that, and the Bible was Ukrainian. Which was, I thought, fantastic, because can I tell you something? If you want faith, you can't grow faith without the Word of God. You've got to fill yourself with the Word of God. You can fill yourself information. You could hear sermons. Sermons are supposed to help build your faith. But the purest form of developing and growing faith is right here. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the living Word. How many are thankful? This book is alive. This book is quick and powerful. This book will change you and transform you and heal you. So if you want to live a life of faith, if you want 2025 to be marked by the hand of God upon your life, you got to fill yourself with the Word of God, because the Word of God is what sparks faith in your life. There's only one true source of faith, and here it is. And this is why we say read your Bible every day. Every day read your Bible. Read it in the morning, read it at night, right? And on his law, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates, what does the Bible say? Day and night. You gotta get full of the Word, because when you get full of the Word, you have inside of you what you need for real faith to spark, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But you cannot, look, you can try, you know, you can drink the 62 ounces of water every day. I just made that number up, I don't know. You can do the exercise. You can do breathing and meditation. You can do all of these things, and some of those things will help you. You can cut up your credit cards, and that'll help you. You can do all these different things. Self-help is good. There are principles. Wise living is good. But that is all nothing compared to living by faith. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is what activates the power of God. And faith, by the way, will not only have you do those things, but so much more. And you'll live so much higher. The high life is the life of faith. And the only way is you gotta make time for the Bible. Okay? Because the Bible is the source of faith. Here's the second thing that's very, very important. And here's why. Okay? So then there's the order of faith. Okay, the order of faith is as follows. It says, for it is with your heart that you believe. Faith activates sparks right inside of the human heart. Okay, it's with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. This is talking about salvation, but it's also the order of faith for all things. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. How does someone become a Christian? You become a Christian by one thing and one thing alone: faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Faith that what Jesus did on the cross was enough. How many know? He conquered sin and death. He took our place. He rose from the dead in power. Hallelujah. By his stripes, we're healed and forgiven. Jesus paid it all and did it all. You see, no one else can save you except Jesus. No one else can save you. Only Jesus saves. And I would challenge anyone here. Like I literally did this, okay? Who else did what Jesus did? Who else even came close? Like we have prophets, we have philosophers, but who came close to Jesus? Not by a million miles.
That's right.
Because Jesus, the Son of the living God, he showed up. He was here. He came here. He became one of us. He took our place. He lived a perfect life. He loved everybody. He healed people. He ministered the Word of God. He left a love letter with us. Our God showed up. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead in power. I subscribe to this or to that. I'm not here to belittle someone's what you believe in, but I'm going to tell you right now, when you match up what you believe to Jesus. I was a kid from Brooklyn just trying to figure this out. And I was like, this guy was different from everybody else. He was. No one with that kind of love, that kind of mercy. Who would forgive? Who demonstrated forgiveness and mercy like Jesus in history? No, not one. You understand? And so, Jesus is the living Word. When you put your faith, you say, Jesus, I confess that I need a Savior, and I believe that you're the one and only Savior, and I invite you into my heart. When you believe in your heart who he said he was, and you confess that with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's how you get to heaven. There's no other way to get to heaven. How many are thankful that he's rich in mercy and we are saved by faith? He did it all. So now, the way, the order of faith, though, for the rest of your life is the same way. You get the word in your heart. Faith sparks, you believe in your heart, and then you can confess, and then you pray, and when you ask God in faith, then the power of God is released into your life by faith. But it all takes the word of God to fill us. And you're going to see now even how this goes further. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, this gets down to the crux of it, and it's actually very practical. Hebrews 11:3 says this: by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Let me read it to you from Hebrews 11:3 in the New King James. I love this. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay? So here's what the Bible is saying here, is that by faith, when we ask the big, big question, where did we all come from? How did we all get here? Okay, how did all of this start? The child of God says, this started because the all-powerful, all-wise God said, let there be light, and let the sun and moon and stars come about, and let there be water, and let there be earth, and let there be plants, and let there be animals, and let there be Adam and Eve. And God, even though it wasn't there, God is the one who framed it and created it by his all-powerful word. His word speaks things into existence which were not there. In other words, we don't believe that it was green soup that started all of this. I was like, where did the green soup come from? Okay, we're going to unpack this in a moment. We don't believe that in the soup there was a little frog, and the little frog became a squirrel, and the squirrel became a dog. How did that happen? You know? And that's how we got here. We don't believe that. What we believe, the title of the message today is, faith is built on God's creative word. We believe that it was the word of God, the creative word of God. God's word is different because God's word has the power to create. Things show up that were not there because of his powerful word. How did we get here? How does Edgar find Christie? I'm going to tell you how. Edgar turns to God and says, I want to serve you, God. You're the one and only. And he says, you want to serve me? Okay, well, follow me. And then as he started to follow, the Bible promises he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And so he finds the right wife. He finds the right girl. And out starts, and now starts this family. And the will of God continues. Why? Because God has it all planned out. He created you. He knew you before the foundations of the earth. He has a plan for your life. He's able by his powerful word to bring it to pass. We've got our plans, but God's plans are better than our plans. And God has the power to fulfill, to execute the plan that he wants. You and I don't. But he does. See, he's the God that opens doors that no man can shut. So faith is built on God's creative word. Do you believe in the power of the word of God? And I want to pray today, because believe it or not, This is challenging your thinking as well as your believing. And this is basically saying there's nothing illogical. There is no fallacy. There's nothing uneducated or simple about believing in the power of God. Okay? We've been so brainwashed by this world that some of us, even though we believe God, we actually are embarrassed to believe in the power of God because we don't want to look foolish in the eyes of the world. But can I tell you something? The things of this world are foolishness to God. And so I want to pray today that God would, and look, if you're here, you're skeptical, I want you to pray and say, all right, let me give this a fresh pass. Let me think about this in a fresh way as we explore this particular topic. And for all of those who are believers here today, can I tell you something? We've got to take in and connect and grow our relationship with the Word of God more than ever before, because when we fill ourselves with the Word, we are ready for the spark of faith. Faith will rise from inside of you. And when faith rises, how many know all things are possible with God? Amen. Come on, somebody say amen to that. All things are possible with God. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, you know where your people are. You understand the challenges that they brought in. You understand the hardships, the difficulties, the past, Lord, the present, what they're facing tomorrow, Lord, should you tarry. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is too hard for you. We thank you, Lord, that we are invited to follow you and that you promise to take care of us, to watch over us, to help us in our time of trouble. It's all in your marvelous word. So God, bless this word, and I pray that you would build faith in all of our hearts. God, give us the faith that pleases you. Give us the faith, Lord, that moves your hands to do great things, not just in us, but through us. Bless this word. God, help my feeble lips, Lord. I need your help, God, with this message, Lord. So help us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Faith is built on God's creative word. And what I want to do now is explore that. What does it mean to believe in his creative power? First of all, and this is what the Bible is saying, believe it or not, super practical, faith believes God's word created the universe. That's what it believes. So kids go to elementary school, kids go to high school, they go to college, and a lot of times they're embarrassed over this issue because they're scientists, there's people with a PhD and the this and the that, and I'm an engineer, and you know, I'm an engineer, I'm a chemist, and on and on and on. And so because of that, people in the world belittle how we got here, right? And so they say it's illogical, it's this, it's that, whatever. But look, just because your mind can't wrap around who God is, doesn't mean God is not real. A lot of times people make their mind as like the center point, the anchor point of it, but that's not true because we're finite. We come and go, right? The Bible says the word of God endures forever, right? But essentially, faith believes that God spoke and by his creative communication. Everybody say creative communication. God is a communicator. By his creative communication, that's how everything came into being. Now, let's talk about that for a second. So look, when you think about man's journey of communication, right? We started with like the smoke signals and then this one and then that phone and then this phone. And you know, when we got to this phone, it has nothing to do with the message. But when we got this phone right here reminds me of my mom. Because when I was a kid, we had one of those phones on the wall. I still remember my phone number from when I was a kid. And those phones are like hard plastic, and we had the long thing. We got an extra long cord. I would try to stretch it into my room when I was talking to people. It's like from the kitchen all the way through the hallway to my room. But I remember my mom talking on the phone. It's been burned into my mind. And my brother was there, and she was going, "Hey, stop it. Oh, yeah, stop it, stop it, stop it." And then all of a sudden, she went just, "Okay, bam!" My brother was like, "Ay, ay, 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 ay." Those phones had so many uses in my house. That was creative communication right there. Okay? Now, why did I say that? I have no idea, but it's nice to know you, right? Like, okay, so anyways, let's keep going with this, right? So look, as technology advances, communication advances. But man's communication, like we got the 2007, then you got the iPhone. The iPhone might be the most ubiquitous tool of technology on the planet right now, at least a smartphone. And it wasn't here until 2007. And I saw an interview with Steve Jobs, 2006. They were asking, "When's the iPhone coming?" He goes, "Well, we don't make comment about that. But, you know, there was this whole plan, and this thing would invade the world. Now think about how the world is shaped." But what you need to understand is that the way man communicates is not the way God communicates. Because our communication is weak and limited, as influential as we are. But God's communication is powerful. It's creative. All he has to do is speak. And when he speaks, it comes to pass. It comes to life. Marriages can be healed by the spoken word of God. An addiction can be broken by the spoken word of God. Like someone could be set free from trauma, from all kinds of things, by one word from the master. He says to the oceans, "Peace, be still. The waters must calm down." Great storm in Lake Michigan. Jesus is sleeping in the boat. He wakes up and says, "Peace, be still," like glass. Why? Because his word is creative and powerful. Do you recognize what you're taking in when you take in the Bible? You see? And we believe in the creative word of God. Let me just break down these definitions for you very, very real quickly here. So what does that mean, okay? When the Bible said in the beginning God created, we understand that by God's command, the worlds were framed and created. Here it is. It means the word of God creates and shapes. Everyone say creates and shapes. Okay, when God creates, there are two things that are going on that actually are fundamental to the question of the origin of the planet, of the universe. Okay? He creates and shapes nature, people, and circumstances into his desired will. Like God can step in and change whatever he wants to change. Okay? So like, for example, Billy Graham, on the question of creation, you know, they asked Billy Graham, a man of faith, "Do you really believe that God, the world started because God created the world?" He said, "Yes." He said, "In fact, when you say in the beginning of God," and they were also asking him about the story in the Bible about Jonah being swallowed by a fish. He said, "When you say in the beginning God, I can believe that a man swallowed a whale just as much as I can believe that a fish swallowed a man. Because with God, all things are possible." I don't know how God does his miracles, but when God wants to do a miracle, he can do it. How many would say that's what it means? That's what it says. God's word is creative. You're like, "Oh, I don't know about that." But it's because you're looking from the eyes of what man can do versus the eyes of what God can do. Faith believes in what God can do. You see? So in Genesis and in Hebrews, it's the same word, bara kata retizo. In Hebrew, here's what it means. It means to shape, fashion, create of heaven and earth, individual man, new conditions and circumstances, and transformations. Okay? In the Greek, it means to fit, frame, create, put in order. It reflects intentionality and divine craftsmanship. So one of the great commentators said that it's interesting because when the Bible speaks about the universe, the word that it uses, it's basically saying out of nothing, God has the creative power to watch this, to first frame it in his mind. Someone intelligent created this world with all of these laws, with all of this order that makes life possible. So he not only framed the world, that the water, the ecosystems, all of the different systems, he's the one who designed it all. The irony to me is that scientists, the reason why scientists study things, the body, the universe, is because they're presuming order. They're like, no, there's order in the universe, but they say disorder is what caused the order. That's ridiculous. You know? But that's the confidence of the scientists, is they're going to find a universe with order. Where did the order come from? Where did all of these laws and theories and theorems come from? I'm telling you where they came from. They came from the lawgiver. You see? Now, when you talk about the Greek definition actually speaks to not universal creation, but it's one of the metaphors that is used when we speak to the human body. Because when you think about the most complicated, complex, quote, computer on the planet, it's our body. Your eyes, your ears, your circulatory system, all of the different skeletal system, all of these different systems, all working together, all replenishing, rejuvenating. How in the world did that come from some kind of green soup? Come on, are we being logical here? How does that level of order, sophisticated order, how does that happen? The Bible says that God did it. Now, if you're in college, you're like, or you're in high school, you're like, yeah, pastor, but you don't go to school where I go to school. When I go to school, the professors mock this, and all of these people with all of these, they mock this. People are mocking it. There's two points on this. I want to play a quick clip to you from a guy who's a millionaire who is spending millions and millions of dollars on his health. So he has these outrageous protocols. He is paying money to optimize his health because he says that he's going to live forever. Huh. So listen to what he says.
I think the irony is that we told stories of God creating us, and I think the reality is that we are creating God.
What do you mean by that?
We are creating God in the form of superintelligence. If you just say, what have we imagined God to be? What are its characteristics? We are building God in the form of technology. It will have the same characteristics. And so I think the irony is that human storytelling got it exactly in reverse, that we are the creators of God, and we will create God in our own image, which is why we should probably be equal to this moment and level up our game and be an improved species.
So think about, so you make $1 million, you have this great idea, you become a millionaire, now you're an authority on how everything was created. And so he's saying the supercomputers are God. We're creating God. The created is creating God, and the word God means uncreated. You can't be God if you were created. God speaks to the fact that there was an eternal being right? And listen to this. This is important. I'm going to keep you a little long today. We had a lot of things, but listen closely, okay? God has to be eternal, otherwise it's not God. Okay, and in particular, when you look at all of the gods, when you look at all of the stories, the one uniqueness, no one else but the Christian story outlines God as being three in one. So in God, in the Godhead, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's a mystery that goes beyond our understanding. You can't understand God. How could you have three distinct personalities in one? I don't know. But if you think about what would God have to be in order to be perfect, he would have to be more than one, because otherwise, if God was just one, then he would have no way to express love. And yet, if God never created anything, there would be perfect love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Perfect relationship, perfect communication. God is perfect in every way, just in himself. Now, look, I know that that's getting kind of deep, okay? But first of all, I don't consider you dummies. I know you're really smart, okay? And you need to think about big things and deep things once in a while. And I'm telling you right now, no philosophy, no religion rises to meet all of the tests of who God is, like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Could we praise God for our perfect, wonderful Creator? So here this guy, and this is what happens. Men become so proud, they think they know everything. Like, you know something, you made a couple million bucks, you know. Hey, throw us a bone, we gotta become something, you know. So that's cool. However, right, man in his pride thinks that we're gonna create God and that we're not created by God and in the image of God. Okay? So he says the supercomputer is the issue. So please listen to this. Why don't we ask the supercomputer? Because up until now, we never had the AI. We never had ChatGPT. We never had. But check this out. Somebody asked ChatGPT about God. Ready? Here we go.
ChatGPT, I have a question. You know how you're like the smartest computer in the world and you know all the information to ever exist? If you were a human, would you believe this universe was created, or do you think it's a coincidence? I only want you to answer in one sentence, and you can only pick one.
If I were a human, I would believe this universe was created.
Can you explain further in about 20 seconds or so?
I'd say that the universe is complexity, order, and fine-tuning. Like, the precise conditions needed for life suggest intentional design rather than random chance. The existence of moral values, consciousness, and the origins of the universe itself also seem to point toward a purposeful creator rather than a mere coincidence.
So what would you tell someone that does not believe there is a creator, even though it seems as all the evidence points towards one?
Let's go, ChatGPT! So look, the next time you're talking to someone and they're saying, oh, it's so illogical, say, no, you're illogical. And let me tell you why. Because when you look at the design, when you look at the intentionality of how everything works together, when you look at the fact that if our earth were just off its axis, just a couple of degrees, we would not exist. When you look at all of the different laws that work together to keep us alive, right? There is no way to say that green soup did that. That it just started. There's no way to say that's, it's more logical to say, so there was this green soup that was always around, and that green soup brought the frog, and the frog turned into a squirrel, and the squirrel turned into a dog, and on and on. You know what I say? It takes way more faith and fantasy to believe in that than to believe there was an all-powerful, creative designer, and even ChatGPT agrees with us. Think about that. Think about the computer with all of the of human knowledge loaded into it. And when it says pure logic, this is pure logic. We're not talking about faith. We're talking about pure logic. A computer can't have faith because a computer doesn't have a heart. But the computer does have the highest level of logic. Pure logic dictates when you look around and when you see everything that's here, there had to be a creator. I'm telling you right now, his name is King Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that God was able to create the world, you're not going to believe that God will create for you. Okay, let me tell you, let me just sum this up. Look at the way Andrew Murray put this. This is powerful. And then we're going to close very quickly. I got to set another point, but we're going to close fast. Here's what Andrew Murray said. He said, by faith we understand that all was framed by God. It was in God's mind. He's the one who sorted out all of the ways that your body works and the universe works, etc. By faith we see divinity and omnipotence, all power in all, so that what is seen is known as made out of things that do not appear. Because God is a spirit, right? Faith sees him on every part of his handiwork and sees it all pervaded by the living God. The world, instead of being a hindrance, becomes a help in revealing the everlasting God. That's why Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. All you got to do is wake up and look at the sky and say, guess what? We're here because God put us here. Amen. You see, it says, and faith finds its life and its delight and its ever-increasing strength in meeting everywhere the God who delights to bear witness of himself to them that seek after him. If you're seeking after God, he'll reveal himself to you. He sent his son Jesus to reveal himself to us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. There is no story like this story. And it is the most logical story, by the way. I don't care how many degrees a person has. To deny this is to deny common sense. You see? So here's how it happens. Faith believes in the creative, powerful word of God. And then here's the second thing, and we'll close with this, but faith believes God's word also creates life and blessing in our lives. Everybody say, the word is for me. Yes. The word of God is for you. The word of God is so that you could receive it, so it could spark faith inside of you, and as you believe God, and as you follow God and obey God and are led by the Holy Spirit, your life will be blessed. Your life will be meaningful and purposeful and powerful in making a great impact for the glory of God because you believe. And when you believe and you follow him, all things are possible. So this is why you got to fill yourself with the promises of God, because when you fill yourself with the promises of God, it sparks faith. It sparks faith. Real quickly, I have someone's very dear. She's like a mom to me. And I remember hearing her story of when she got saved. So she was seeking God, and she was starting to read the Bible and listen to things and all that. But she went to a church, the Moody Church, actually. And in Moody Church, they have written across the top, I don't know if it's still there, but they have written across the top, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when she saw the word sparked faith. And she said, yes, I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. Born again. That's the way it is. And because the word of God sparks faith. Here's another, this is just this week. So I was talking to a friend of mine, his name is Jay Dunn, he's actually preached here. He and his wife lead a ministry called House of Providence, very powerful ministry. They take in kids who have been like they're in the foster care system, or kids, they rescue kids from the worst kinds of situations you could even imagine, and these kids are transformed. I remember going there, and can I tell you, the first time I walked in to House of Providence, what stood out to me is I crossed the threshold, and as soon as I walked in, I felt the presence of God like in a prayer meeting when the glory of God comes down. You know, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because if you want to know where God is, God would be there with the brokenhearted. Anyway, Jay has been encountering some health issues, and it turns out he had like a lump. I can't remember. It was either his kidney, or I think it was his kidney had a lump, and I mean, it was huge, and this was a very serious thing. And so he's got a big family. They prayed in the living room. I hope you pray in your house. Guess what? When you have faith, you pray. God said, you have not because you ask not. You have cancer. You have a broken marriage. You have a wayward child. You're battling with addiction to alcohol or to pornography or to some kind of whatever it is, or some kind of drug. I'm telling you right now, there is one that rescues. There is one that saves. All we have to do is call upon him in the day of trouble. So they put their hands together. He said, we just prayed a regular prayer. We just prayed. We said, Jesus, you said in your word to ask and we shall receive. And they prayed. So anyway, he had the bump there. You could feel the bump. Goes. They go to do one of those scans, whatever it was, MRI, CT, whatever kind of scan it was. And they go, they do the scan. And all of a sudden, they come in and they're scratching their heads. And they're like, oh, look, we got to do another test. We got to check this again and check it again and check it again and check it again. And guess what? The doctor comes out and says, hey, Jay, today is a great day for a miracle. We can't find that lump. That lump is gone, gone, gone. Come on, let's praise God. Hallelujah. Call upon him in the day of trouble and he will answer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still does miracles right here, 2025. He's the living God. Hallelujah. And let me tell you last thing. This is, so Pastor Josh preached this word in Philadelphia today. By the way, quick praise report. They baptized 5 people in Philadelphia Tabernacle this morning. Come on, come, let's praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is building his church everywhere the Spirit of God is working. Wherever there's faith, God is working. Amen. So anyway, Pastor Josh actually preached this same, well, a form of this message, his own message. We discussed it together. He preached this message today there. And I called him on Friday and said, hey, how's your studying going and all that? We discuss the messages when we do that. And he said, honestly, I was struggling in the beginning of the week, but I was getting a haircut. Apparently, Susie takes after her mother. Susie's cutting his hair the same way. Actually, I got a haircut. Chrissy cut my hair this week. And so Susie's my daughter's wife. And so he was getting a haircut. And while he was getting a haircut, at a certain point, it happened. And he went, oh, I got it. And Susie's like, what? And he goes, the message is alive in me now. I got it. I got it. I understand it. I feel it. What was he saying? You know what he said? He was saying, I've had this in my head, but now I've got faith in my heart. The word, the study, what I've been taking in, it's turned into faith, and now it's alive inside of me. Hallelujah, I'm ready to preach the word of God. That is the spark of faith. God wants to spark that faith in your heart, whatever your mountain is, that spark of faith, faith the size of a mustard seed, will bring down that mountain. Dramatic mountains. Mountains of depression. Mountains of anger. Mountains of unforgiveness. Mountains of rebellion. Your child is in rebellion. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Faith. Hallelujah. Now, I want to pray for all of us. Everyone needs faith. We're going to pray for all of us. If you need a miracle, we're going to pray. I'm keeping you a little long, but it's okay. This is the Lord's day. The football game is recorded, whatever it is. Faith starts a relationship with Jesus. There comes a moment in time when the Holy Spirit, who's real but unseen, he knocks on the door of your heart and he says, open the door and let me in. I died not so that you could go to church. I died not so that you could know about me and have information. I died so that we could have a relationship.